bless you all. Let us all turn our scriptures.
Book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 17. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath also fulfilled. Verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, and the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God had spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let us all pray. Our Lord, our Master, the potter of our life, the teacher of our life, the shepherd who keeps all of us, the sheep, to be safe and sound in a strong tower of your name, to be covered by the banner of your love, to be surrounded, to be shielded by the seal of the Holy Ghost, to be able to stand and walk and run and rest in this journey on the foundation that is sure, the chief cornerstone. Our Lord, for God was manifest in flesh, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this blessed day of gathering. We thank you, Lord, for you are the Lord of our Sabbath. You are the blessed rest that we will all enter into. You are the promised land that we will all dwell. For God is the builder and maker of the mansions where we shall dwell in, the only tabernacle that is worthy of the fullness of God, the only tabernacle in which the Spirit of God manifested as a whole and spoke to all of us, "My fullness shall dwell therein." And Lord, we pray that you come and touch every one of us today, that we will all grow spiritually and we will all shrink in our flesh, that we may attain the measure of Christ to glorify the fullness of God, that we are ready for your coming, for you will come like a thief, but the bride will be prepared for your coming because the bride knows the groom. The groom is not a stranger to the bride. The groom is not a thief to the bride, but the groom is the beloved, is the reason for the bride exist, is the reason the bride is alive. The last Adam, the quickening spirit. Lord, we pray, help us that we don't sleep spiritually. Help us that we don't fall away spiritually. Help us, O Lord, that we don't become knowledge people, we don't become intelligent people spiritually. But Lord, we become the bride of Jesus Christ spiritually, that she will be able to go inside of him spiritually, that we must submit to the husbandman, and we must submit before the mighty hand of God, who is seated in the right hand of the Father in heaven. Lord, we pray and we invite thy presence to walk in the midst of us, for you are the word of God. And Lord, we pray that you bless us, that we are blessed by the Comforter who is in us, for we all received the power of thy resurrection. And the Comforter will lead us into the truth. The Comforter will guide us how to walk. And the Lord will speak from behind and he will tell us, this is the way that you shall walk. And Lord, come and speak to us in the same way you have been guiding us, molding us, purging us, washing us, chastening us, edifying us, encouraging us, perfecting us, that we will all be redeemed by thy hand. We thank you for today. We thank you for all the wonderful worship songs. We thank you, Lord, for all the brothers and sisters that you have given us as the inheritance of God. Lord, we rejoice in them, for you are in them. Lord, we stand with them, for you are in them. We serve them, for you are in them. For God who dwells in the midst of his children. Thank you, Lord, for this day. May you bless us that we glorify thy name, and we bring the sweet aroma to thy heavenly presence. And Lord, we please the Holy Spirit today. In Jesus Christ's name we all pray. Amen. God bless you all. Shalom. Greetings to you all in the only name in which we all can greet one another, the name of Jesus Christ. I wish you well is also a greeting, but in which name I'm greeting, it matters the most. I can wish you well for a moment of time. If the greeting is based on the flesh, based on something that was built by men, built by people, could be confidence, could be hope, could be the way of life, how perfect I am, but that greeting will disappear just like that. But the father of David, Jesse, he told his son David, the last one. There was a reason why David was the last son. The Lord used the first in some occasions. He used the last in some occasions. So always remind us, there is only one who can be called as the first and the last. The beginning and the end. The one who begins and the one who ends. The one who starts and the one who finishes. And the father tells the last son and tells him, you are up on the mountain, but now you go down. Thy brethren are in the valley. And Jesse told David, go down and salute thy brethren. Amen. Use the word salute, which means greet thy brethren. Now, David did not ask Jesse, how can I greet my brethren? Should I say, how are you? Have a good day. I love you. I'm so thankful for you. Is it greeting? How David can greet his brethren? Jesse did not explain anything. This is how you should greet that brethren. Because the father knoweth the son. And the son honoreth the father. The son did not even ask, my father, how should I greet my brethren? Jesse said, go down, salute the brethren. David did not say, can I go in the evening? How about tomorrow? I have to play with my friends. I have some family commitments. What is the family commitment? Who is the father? As I speak, remember Jesse as a father in heaven and David as the son of David, Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son down, not up, because we are down. The earth is footstool, for heaven is his throne. That father in heaven who is only perfect, who is in heaven, for God is in heaven, the Bible says it, spirit, he gave his only son, which is the complete manifestation of the spirit, for God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit, received by Gentiles, preached by the servants of God, but received by Gentiles. Amen. Now, Jesse, the father, tells the son, go down. So let's keep it on one side. On the other side, God tells Moses, go down. Did he tell Moses? Moses, 40 days you have been praying with me. You are soaking in my presence. Now you shall go down. So God tells Moses, go down. Jesse tells David, go down. The Father in heaven gave his only son to go down. It's not just the earth that we are all standing, but he went down all the way to Sheol to preach the gospel to the captives. And he came up. So what is greeting? What is greeting? Let's go for lunch and some speak about families. That is greeting. Nowadays, gossip has become fellowship. After gossiping for 2 hours, we can say, we pray for the soul. In Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. What is greeting? Jesse told David, thou shalt go down and greet thy brethren. That's all he said. David left all the sheep. But who gave the wisdom to David to keep the shepherds back with him? But there is no sheep in the valley. There is no sheep in the valley. Nothing but people fighting Philistines. But David kept the shepherd back. You know why? He cannot be without the shepherd back because he was a shepherd. He was not a king. He was not a soldier. He was not any title-driven man. He was a shepherd the same way Moses was. Moses was a shepherd overseeing the flock of the father-in-law. But David was also a shepherd overseeing the flock of the father. So father-in-law, But Jethro is father-in-law to Moses. The same way, Naomi is a mother-in-law to her daughter-in-law, Ruth. Now, David goes down. The Bible says he was stopped by Philistines? No. He was stopped by who? He was stopped by Eliab. And he was stopped by Saul. And he was stopped by the kingdom for whom he served. Then what he was greeting? He tells them, Father sent me to salute you. And they tell him, get out. Why you are here? We are all soldiers. Look at us carrying archery or spear, sword, whatever. We are soldiers. You are carrying shepherd's bag. You are not called into this type of battle. Get out. But before that, before all of this happened, God sent Samuel to anoint him with fresh oil. The last Sunday, what we saw? Freshness of mind. Because when the prophets anointed kings, do you remember how they anointed? They carried the oil in a horn, the same horn they used for blowing trumpet sound. From the same horn, there can be a shout of victory or screaming of sound to make a warning or alarm. That horn can also be used to carry the oil, fresh oil. Then they pour out the oil from the head. They anoint. The head is soaked by the oil, and the oil drips down like Aaron through his beard all the way to the tip of his garment, to the feet, isn't it? It is a sign of not washing, because oil, you won't use oil to wash your face. It is to make you something new. It is to equip you for something new. Equipping, amen? So, Prophet Samuel was used by God to equip David for something, but David don't know what it is. David had no idea what it was meant for. Then the father came, sent David to valley, and David went and greeted that brethren. He did not say good morning to everyone and went up. That is not greeting. The greeting of David was completed when Goliath fell on the ground. The salutation of David was completed when the people of Israel were preserved from the enemy on that day. Then what the father said, salute thy brethren, was completed. Until then, David was in the process. When David said, I salute you, for instance, he said, Shalom, those who rejected him, they asked him to get out. They were angry, so angry, because you were not supposed to be here. Get out. But the Bible says, David spoke, when it was rejected, he turned aside, he spoke the same to another. You rejected, he turned aside, spoke the same to another. You rejected, turned aside, spoke the same to another, until the very last soul that was meant to receive that blessing on that day, the word of God will keep on echoing until someone received it. Why? David did not know who is that person. But David knows there is that person. Why? Father sent me. The Bible says Jesus Christ will not settle until the very last sheep enters into his flock. He won't settle. But he knows who is the last sheep. He knows. Because he knows all things, for the Spirit of God dwells in him. He is the fullness of God. But the sheep know not. Now, the salutation, greeting of David was so beautifully completed when the profaning of God's name was stopped, when the abomination was terminated, then David did not just salute brethren, David did not just greet brethren. By doing so, he glorified God's name in heaven. Now you see, where there are two or more agreed together as one, whatever they bind on earth, whatever they want, do it on earth, shall be done in heaven. Or whatever the Lord wanted to do it in heaven, shall be done on earth. The will of God was fulfilled when that vessel was able to agree with another vessel in the same spirit. Oftentimes we think about David who overcome Goliath, but he forgot Jesse, who was the one who sent him down. It was not Saul. Saul was already in the valley, who was in need of help, but Saul did not know. But he was rejected by Saul, rejected by Eliab. And there was one particular valley that David had to cross, and that valley was, Saul told David, it seems you are prepared to die in the battle, it's okay. Take my armor. Did he say that? Saul said, take my armor, because I'm a king. If you kill Goliath, you need some mighty armor. Use my armor. Or you want to serve the Lord, quote my book. Or you want to glorify the name of the Lord, save people, quote my name. Be part of this corporate structure. Which structure? Which umbrella Apostle Paul was under? The umbrella of men or the umbrella of heaven? David says he could not reject the king because he's a king. The Bible says David received the armor from Saul and he tried. And who said this? Apostle Paul said this. Do not test, trust everyone. Test every spirit. Did he say that? Apostle Paul said that. Don't trust every word. Don't trust everything. Do not believe everything you see. Test everything in the Spirit of God by testing those spirits, because there are so many spirits. So David tested the armor because David believed in the mighty anointing of God upon Saul, but yet he tested the armor of Saul. Why? There was anointing upon him as well. He wanted to make sure that my anointing echoes with your anointing and the garment is same. And that armor must be the armor of God. Ephesians 6. It cannot be any other armor. He tested the truth. He tested the righteousness. He tested everything, but the armor was not fitting him. Which means, God allowed David to go to a stature to the point whereby Saul's armor could not fit him. Size M from size XL. Or size XL, size S. Could not fit him. There was a mismatch in the flesh of David compared to the flesh of Saul. It is a beautiful proof that David was not a small boy. Which king will give you 20 kilograms of metal ion on a 10-year-old boy? They have the movies depict David. David was a grown-up man. He was ready to father a child. That is when the Lord took him. Let's say about 20 plus, like Daniel. Similar. But when Saul saw David, we are look-alike. Use my armor. But there is no look-alike. God is sovereign. We are created in the image and likeness of God. That is true. That is look-alike. But not look-alike. Because none of us are made in our own image and likeness. Because we have no image and likeness in the first place. The armor of Saul was rejected by David. That is when the victory of David began. The moment David rejected the king's armor, it is the same Daniel rejected the king's food. Amen? He did the same. Daniel rejected the king's food, king's wine. David rejected the king's armor. That moment, the victory is over. Whatever happened next is nothing but him and the shepherd's back. After this, he chose out 5 smooth stones. Amen? Not sharp stones, not rugged stones, not uneven stones, not weird stones. Smooth stones that he can hold in his hand comfortably. God is not the author of confusion. Amen? If you feel in your heart, I am unable to understand this verse, keep on convincing me, you are holding some sharp stone. The spirit of truth is spirit of light. You know exactly what it means when you hold it. When you hold it with the right intent. The reason why people get completely confounded because they want to find the verse that makes them, I am right. You think I'm not a fit person? Wait. This verse was not good. See, I'm a fit person. Sharp stone. Ugly stone. Uneven stone. Wicked stone. What is smooth stone? We fall into the scripture and let the old man die. We fall into the double-edged sword and let the gardener prune the branches. You become smooth. Because the Lord is coming for a beautiful bride. Amen. smooth stone David chose out, because the Bible says David was not given the stones. David chose out the stone. That is why you are called my chosen. The Lord says, my chosen. We did not receive salvation. He chose you. Because of that, you received it. The people of God are chosen. Amen. But he chose them in his righteousness, not random. There is no game he plays in the scripture. He knows this seed will bring forth apple. This seed will bring forth orange. He knows. Because he is a creator. He chose them accordingly. And we are called the chosen. The elect is chosen. Amen. Not someone who won some battle and we say, I deserve salvation. I don't deserve salvation. You don't deserve salvation. But the one who created me, he said, you receive my salvation. For the reason I deserve the salvation. Because I'm a child of God. Not because of I'm a child. I'm a child of God. So Son of God gave me the salvation of God with the peace of God in the fruit of God. Everything's of God, not of me, not of you. So David chose the five stones and he used only one. Amen? Because God is gracious. But he is one. Imagine we are on the David. If God prophesied to me, take five stones from the right and left hand side, we have to use all five. If one stone, Goliath died, we can't waste the missiles. Launch it on Saul, launch it on Eliab. Whoever said no to you, kill everyone. And Jesus had the same experience. He looked at James and John. He told them, you want to burn the village of Samaritans? You are not in my spirit. He simply said, you are not of me. That's what he said. Why? Why? God tells his children, go down, salute. Greet. And how do we greet? The way Jesus greeted his brethren. The way David greeted his brethren. What they did? Stood with them until the last breath of their life. Isn't it? Every servant of God who glorify the name of God, you go and search in the scripture, they stood with the blood of Christ until the last breath of their life. And the Lord says, it took 120 years to complete the greeting. Yes, yes, yes. What's your name? Moses. 120 years he died. What's your name? It took 74 years to complete my greeting. What's your name? Oh, Richard Gunn. Oh. What's your name? It took 110 years to complete my greeting. What's your name? Joshua, also Joseph. The life that God gave you today, it is for us to continue to greet one another. What is greeting? Serving, edifying, encouraging, comforting, singing, dancing, praying, walking, but be together. There are times that we may have to embrace silence. It is also part of being together. Just because we all gather doesn't mean we should sit 2 hours non-stop. We can just spend time in quietness. If the Lord wants us to be. Because Joshua told the people, be quiet. Why? This is the time, be quiet. Why? Because God told Joshua, I'm going to speak with a very still voice. If all of you are screaming, making noise, you won't listen to me. Joshua received instruction and he gave a command, be quiet, be silent, O ye all the flesh. He wanted everyone to be active in spirit. He put the flesh to sleep. They were waiting for the Lord's voice. So then for the Lord to tell them, now. Isn't it? Now. You know, the Lord is not going to come and give us another 3 hour sermon when the time is now. He would simply say, now. The bride knows what he means. It's like a code word only between the groom and the bride. The bride understands what the groom wanted. Or else, what do you learn about wife of thunders? What is going to come later? May the Lord bless us. Are we greeting? Do we really understand what is the meaning of saying shalom? Shalom for today, tomorrow damnation for you. Monday to Friday, don't talk to me. Sunday, so shalom to you. Oh, prayer gathering, I love you. Monday to Friday, too busy. No. My shalom for you should live forever. Because shalom represents God himself, God of peace. And I tell you, you are made of God, I am made of God. Both of us, we say shalom. But before the shalom happens, the Lord says, is it a greeting, or in office, you don't like many colleagues, in your office meetings, there are many people whom you don't like, but you still say good morning, right? You have to say, for the sake of saying, and they call it as formal conversation. Professional communication, yes. So let's all have professional communication in the church of God. Oh, woman, display the screen. What is professional communication? There is no professional communication in the church of God. There is nothing but the language of agape. I love you. No matter what happens, I stand with you. You stand with me. I need you. Sometimes we are very busy in telling you need me. No one needs anyone. Remember this. Everyone needs God. And God says, I'm a spirit. I live in my children. And the Lord says, you be there for one another. That agape. I have some close friends whom I don't talk to for months and years. But deep inside, I know that they are always there for me. Deep inside, there is a connection. And they know that I'm always there for them. One single call without even asking why, I'll be there for them. They'll be there for me. What is this? Pure relationship. Because of cell phones, internet, digital space, and all these abominations invisible, people have lost what is true relationship. What is true love? Forgotten. What is greeting? Forgotten. The true greetings have become emojis. You didn't see my emoji today. I was sad today. You are greeting me good morning. You should go and see. This is my state of life. This small, tiny yellow color ball, two dots. That is my life today. Mockery of God's creation happening all around by making them as graven images by themselves. People create artificial intelligence based image of themselves and post them. This is me. Look, let me write. It's more beautiful than me. So God is not a good creator, and that stupid, foolish, wicked algorithm has become a beautiful creator. Yes, indeed. The question of who is the creator is a big question now. Because of what men made. Intelligence. Sitting in the office room, pressing a button can kill a nation. Today said, in those days, the soul just had to be physically fit, smart, to be able to run farther and go and fight, have injuries come back. But now just sit. You don't have to be a fit man. You can just be a cunning man, sit in the chair and just kill someone. How come we reach this state? How come the world has gone to this state? The whole earth is nothing but a valley, my dear brethren. Wicked valley with full of Goliath and Philistines. And the Father in heaven sent his son, the son of David. All the sick people, when they saw him, son of David, heal me, son of David, heal me, this Christ. Why? After they were healed, they told him, we will be doing your work in this valley until you come. That is why he healed you. That is why he saved you. That is why we are all called the bride of Christ, because the wife will do what the husband wanted to do. Because the husband represents Christ, and the wife was made of the ribs of the husband, Adam and Eve. It is not the physical difference of man and woman. No, it is spiritual, how the Lord spiritually created us. I'm a man. But in the spirit of God, the Lord said, you are a bride. Which means not the woman, but the part of me who came out of me from my bowel. The living water from my rib. The part of my wood, the bone. So how each other can greet one another? The only possibility is all the bones, all the joints, all the flesh, all the blood united together by the life of Christ, the mind of Christ, the spirit that flows inside the body, that gives life to the dying soul to be called as quickened spirit. Only then all of us will form a single bone. A skeleton. Amen? The frame. So by the grace of God today we will meditate continuing from last Sunday. Freshness of mind. Amen? Before that, largeness of heart. So what is that today for us? May the Lord guide us. Remember the words. Stone, valley, greeting, salutation, standing together with the family of God. Now let's turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2 verse 7. I'm going to talk about a word called dust. Not the best, but dust. So we start the sermon with the word dust. So that's the first word. Genesis 2:7. As the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So the word dust is linked to formation of man. Amen? Remember the word form. It's a form. From dust he came. But he is not breathing it. When the Lord gave the breath of life, he became a living soul. So the air types the living soul, but that air is a breath of God. So we keep it there. But let's focus on dust. Chapter 3, verse 19. Chapter 3, verse 19. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. The Lord used the word, thou art. Amen? We sing the song, thou art worthy. Because the Lord said, thou art dust. He said that, not me. It is written. But the Lord can make that dust to be worthy to be placed in His heavenly kingdom when He receives the Spirit, that is He Himself. Life. Spirit is life. His Word and His Spirit are life. Amen? Not separated. Now the Lord God. What is the Lord God? Did you see the King James Version? It says the Lord God. In chapter 2, verse 7. God speaks to Moses, I am the Lord thy God. Did He say that? There the Lord separated it. But here it is the Lord God. Yahweh Elohim. Yahweh, I am the Lord. Elohim, the Spirit of God. Eternal Holy Spirit. Now, whenever you read the word the Lord God, Lord God, you could see Jesus never identified Himself as God, but He was always called the Lord. Amen? We should know why the Bible says, thy creator is thy husbandman. But God is the creator, but God is spirit. But the Bible says, we are all created by the word of God. And what is the word of God? The complete manifestation of who is God. And that complete manifestation, the Lord says, I am the Lord thy God. Because Moses was speaking to a visible presence. And God speaks to Moses, I am the Lord thy God. So God gave His only Son for salvation of all of us. That is New Testament. In the Old Testament, you should see the word Lord God. You can easily discern how beautifully God speaks to us. The Spirit that is cannot be seen, because no man has seen the face of God. Amen? But God allowed them to see Him as a Lord. That is the visible presence of God Almighty. If there is no visible presence, how Adam can be created in His image, in His likeness? So it is beautiful that the Lord speaks to all of us. That visible presence had a frame, had a structure, had an image, a likeness. And the Lord looked at the earth. He made that image in the dust, like an idol, isn't it? That's why God gives the Ten Commandments, do not make any graven image from the dust or the stone or from the water, don't do it. Just because I made you out of the dust. Why? People want to be like God. If God can make Adam out of sand, why can't do it? I'll make idols, you know, sculptures everywhere and I will worship them, but I'm not an idol worshiper. God also made sand, made man called Adam. So the word dust has two branches. One is formation. Two, the Lord says, thou art. Dust. You go back to dust. Now let's turn our Bibles to Book of Psalm. Let's go to David, the beloved of God, the most interesting character in the Bible. Chapter 18, verse 42. Let us unfold this step by step. Chapter 18, 42, Book of Psalm. It says, we will read from verse 41 so that you get the context of how the Lord deals with wickedness.
They cried, but there was none to save them, even unto the Lord, but He answered them not. So do you agree with me that they cried unto the Lord? Because they said, even unto the Lord. They cried for help, no one came to help, then they cried even unto the Lord. The New Testament says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. But which time? Before grace or after grace? If it is before grace, it is repentance. If it is after grace, it is tribulation. Two different sides. Amen? Now, the Bible says He answered them not. Because Jesus said, people call me Lord, Lord, Lord. We heal many people. We cast out demons. We perform miracles. And the Lord says, depart from me, work of iniquity. I don't know you. I don't know you. Because He can't love. Because Lord, knowing means intimate relationship with a bride. Like Adam knew Eve, they begot Abel. Isaac knew Rebekah, they begot the son, Jacob. Now, let us read verse 42. Then I beat them small as the dust before the wind. I did cast them out as the dirt in the street. So now the next thing that we come is the word street, because you could see street always refers to dust. Not maybe here, but even you could see the cement roads underneath is also dust. But someone prepared a way so that you can walk on the dust without getting your hands blessed dirty, right? And the Lord says, I sent John the Baptist to prepare the way for me. I sent 7 messengers to prepare the way for me. So much dust and mud. Just go naked before me to land. Let my feet land. Amen? Now dust is street, and another word that the Lord blessed us to remember is how small we are. Correct? How small we are. The highest cedar of the Lebanon shall be brought down to the ground. Why? From dust you came, to dust you shall return. But the Lord says, thou art small. Because He is great. Jesus called my little children. The Pharisees, Sadducees are looking around. Friends, where are children? Who are they? Lord, it's my little children. They thought He was referring to little children. Literally. Because according to them, Jesus was much, much smaller than them. Because they are maybe 80 years, 90 years old Pharisees. And the Lord was what, nearly a 30-year-old man like David or like Daniel. But the Lord says, before Abraham was I. So count me, count my age. He said, right, before Abraham was I. Count my age. Oh, first and the last. The beginning and the end. You can't count. But they were counting Him. They were measuring Him. They were measuring the one who was great, who cannot be measured. They forgot that they are small. Do you hear me? Dust, speed, small, formation, and thou art. Amen? Now remember. Let's continue to Psalm 72, verse 9. Before we go to Daniel, we will collect all the dust, which will benefit us. 72 verse 9. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before Him. His enemies shall lick the dust. What? Shall lick the dust? Why such a statement from God? Who is my enemy? Who is your enemy? Apostle Paul teaches, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Because the flesh and blood made by the One, the Holy One. But you wrestle against the wickedness that is tormenting them, influencing them behind. You fight. You fight that devil, the father of all life. But how do you fight? Go and fight with them? No. Focus on the Word of God. It is well. Focus on praising God. It is well. Focus on edifying and encouraging a soul who is hungry and thirsty. It is good. All evil by good. What is good? To do good, to speak good, to think good, to serve good, to be for good for the family of God, and to seek the Lord's harvest in the vineyard where you are planted. When you do that, automatically you eliminate the enemy. You know why? You are extremely focused on the narrow path. You could not hear the screaming noise of the wolf. You could not hear the hissing noise of snake. Because you are very much focused on the song of salvation. The reason why King Saul was weary, because he was hearing all the noises of the enemy. He could not hear the song of salvation. And the Lord taught a lesson. The anointing departed from thee. He sent David to please him by playing a song. But Saul could not understand why God could not heal me, why this music is healing me. Saul could not reason. Instead of fasting and praying to God, he will keep on calling David to heal him. If you rely on tablets, for example, that is you trying your best. The Lord says, go to the pool. That is you putting a record. But you are not healed merely because of the pool. You are healed because of the one who sent you to the pool. The heart is prepared for a battle. You have to prepare. But the safety, the victory is coming from the Lord. Amen? That is that you can't replace. But you can't be complacent. You can't be ignorant. By not doing anything, you have to put your efforts. But that effort is not absolute. It is you striving. And Saul was content with a temporary solution, who is called David. He totally forgot the permanent solution, who is called God. The Bible never recorded that he was fasting, praying for the Lord to come back to his understanding. No, he was very distracted. He was very distracted and he remained distracted. When will you be distracted? When I throw dust in your face. You are a mighty soldier, okay? You come and won't hit me. But I'm a very weak person. I only have a small knife. You are physically fit. You have so much weapons. I just take the dust, throw it on your eyes. The moment you are trying to come back, your sense, I'll come and kill you. It's a war technique. Everybody uses it, correct? If you can't kill, deceive. Hide that vision. And the Bible says, be thou my vision. How will people hide your vision when God himself is your eye? Dust can be used to hide your vision. Now, the Bible says in, we are in 72 verse 9. Now go to 103, chapter 103 verse 14. Chapter 103 verse 14. For he knoweth our frame. Hallelujah. Am I right? Formation is also called the frame. Because the Lord is a painter. He painted you as a frame. Head, neck, shoulder. Everything has a reason. Now, the Bible says in verse 14, he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. But, can you please just stop being so accurate? He can't, because he's a sharp double-edged sword. He's always accurate. Not blunt like that. Sometimes we become blunt. We lose the sharpness. He knows our frame because we are dust. He formed the frame. He knows who we are. And says verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. So there is a blooming season. Verse 16, for the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. There is no trace of the existence when the wind takes you away. Amen? So the Lord called all of us, be small, let me be great in your life. Not because he wanted to be great, but there is no choice. No one can handle his greatness. Amen? It is better we fall into the hands of the Lord. And the Bible says, we must decrease. He must increase. The word must is not a request. It's an instruction and says no option B. You must decrease. He must increase. It's not even may. There is a big difference between may the Lord bless us and you must decrease. It is an instruction command. This one is a choice. It's a choice of free will. Every time you see the word may, you should tell yourself, it has a link to free will. You can choose to ignore. But every time you see the word must, it is judgment. I tell you, the word must means judgment. You know why? If you choose, you choose. Good for you. If you reject, you reject. Bad for you. Because the Lord says you must decrease. Because never forget
from where you came. Now, verse 17 says, the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. There is glory to glory upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children, to such as. You see, to such, it means only to those very few. The Lord says, I keep my covenant. I renew the contract. I keep His covenant and to those that remember His commandments to do them. Now, this verse is a final instruction in the book of Revelation. The Bible says, those who do His commandments will have access to the tree of life. Amen? But that tree of life comes from the dust, isn't it? It needs earth to suck the water and to grow. Why do they call you dust? Can the tree of life exist without the sand, without soil? No. There's a difference between soil and dust. Do you agree with me? Soil is nutritious and brings forth life. Dust means some useless, fine particles. Are we dust or soil? Blessed is he who is planted by the rivers of living water, for he will flourish. The Lord compared himself as a tree of life. And the tree of life was telling the woman, I'm weary, give me water. Don't you see? The Lord is telling the soil, give me water. Because she came from the dust. He will go back to the dust. The Lord says, give me water and come back to me. He called it as water. He called it as dust. He called it as so many parables to teach us a lesson who we are. Now from Psalm, we will move to the son of this beloved called the wisdom, Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 verse 7. Ecclesiastes 12 verse 7. Before we meet Daniel, we will have to bring all these tidings, good tidings, so that what he did will give us understanding. Verse 7, since we talk about Daniel, read from verse 6. Or ever the silver cord be loosed, or the golden ball be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Have you heard the word broken cistern? Broken cistern, what is it? The water broke. What will happen? Some action needed. If not, death will come. Broken cistern. Silver cord, golden ball. Amen? So Nebuchadnezzar took the silver vessel, golden vessel from Jerusalem. He brought it all the way to Babylon. He kept it at least. But Belshazzar took it, used it. He inverted his own judgment. The Lord struck him on the same day. Silver and gold. Amen? And the words of the Lord are also compared to silver that is purified, refined 7 times. Correct? 7 times. Because Nebuchadnezzar heated the furnace 7 times. To throw Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, but he didn't remember that they were all Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael. So they were inside as the Jews of God, children of God, and the Lord was walking with them. Amen? Now silver, gold, you bring it here, then you come to verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God. Who gave it? Can you take a good example? The Lord used the servant for more than 40 years, but the body belonged to the earth. You can name Moses, you can name anyone, you can name any servant of God who died. David, Solomon, even the Lord blessing in our life, the servant of God who was with us. After the life is completed for the glory of God, the flesh, whatever the fleshly things that should return to the dust, it was sent back to the dust. But what happened in between? In between the 75 years of journey, 80 years of journey, 120 years of journey, 170 years of Abraham, 33 years of Christ, whatever the lifespan of the dust, something happened in between. The Lord put His spirit in between. He redeemed the spirit again. Which is like fishing, right? You throw a bait, the fish will come and take the bait, you take the fish from the sea. The Lord was fishing His spirit. But our flesh should go back to the dust. Now the Lord says, don't choose the dust. That is for your flesh to go and submit. Choose me, the spirit, for your spirit to submit. Flesh is weak because you are small. Spirit is willing because He is great. Amen. So the Lord wants all of us to remember every time we think that we are someone great, you just go and look out in your mirror, you are aging every day, you are going to die. That's a reality, no matter how healthy you are. No matter how strong you are. One single shake of the earth, this whole building is gone. Can we say God is not faithful? Where was God when children of opponents of God were skinned alive? Where was God? Where was God? We say, right, I am wounded, hurt, attacked, but I will never be broken. They broke the bones of apostles. They crushed them. What is the verse representing? What the Lord tells Joshua, no man shall stand against thee. The entire family of Joshua stood against him. When he died with regret in his heart by seeing how people went. But the Lord says, no man shall stand against thee. What is thee? You sing the song, close to thee, O Lord, close to thee. The thee, the word thy, is always representing him, if you are able to hold him in you. Because God sees himself in you when you hold him. He's counselor, he counsels within himself, because we are no greater to counsel him. He just wants an echo. He goes to a mountain, scream, I love you. You wait for 2 seconds to come back to you, right? Echo. The Lord wants an echo, the resonator of agape. From his very own children, he looks for fellowship. He looks for a lovely communication. That's all he wants. But sometimes we become Jehovah. If I don't be a sincere, aggressive, violent soldier, who will save God? Jehovah was killed by Solomon. That's what will happen. When Jehovah forgot, I'm a dust. None of us should forget. The Lord told us, thou art dust. But thou art worthy. Thou art dust. Thou art worthy. We are small. He is great. We must decrease. He must increase. Now, verse 8 says, vanity of vanities, saith the preacher, all is vanity. Solomon, you are a king. You are not in the fivefold. No, he said, I'm a preacher. Who gave Solomon the name preacher? Who is preaching? The wisdom is preaching. Who is the preacher? Not the man. It's the wisdom of God that shines forth through the man. The Lord is the preacher. He is the pastor. He is the evangelist. He is the prophet. He is the apostle. He is all in all. He is the advocate. He is the judge. He is all in all. He is looking for a mirror that reflects his light. That's it. Now, the Samaritan woman, she brought more souls to Christ more than Judas. Period. Do you agree with me? She brought more souls to Christ than Judas. If that woman is a woman, if she takes the bread of Christ, the man is also inside of her, isn't it? Because a woman can carry a man. She can be a mother, carry a male child. The male can be inside of her. Because the word mother is a representation of God who feeds you, who takes care of you, who kept you in his mind. It's all typing God who is not bound to any gender. And the Lord says, don't be bound to vanity, but remember me. Remember the Creator in the youth. Because a bride must remain young. All of us, irrespective of our age difference, to the sight of the Lord, we are all of age, one age, the age of marriage. All of us are young to his sight. You know what the young bride will do? She knows, I'm small. I'm young. I don't know much. I have to rely on my Father in heaven. That dependency is what the groom needs to see. Do you rely on my Father? Do you submit to my Father? Do you obey my Father? Do you love my Father? Then I marry you. Because the groom wants to see the dependency of the young bride to the Creator. But he's the Word of God. He created you. But he gives everything to the Father, back to the Father. Why? God is spirit, cannot be corrupted. He is perfect in heaven. And the Lord wants his bride to remain young, no matter how old you are. 120 years old, beautiful, young bride. Because the word young is a representation of rely on me. Rely on me. Now, let's go to the young man, Daniel. Daniel, chapter. Have you ever thought of this pattern in the scripture? The pattern is, let's go to Daniel first. Let's read verse 27. Chapter 3. The princes, the governors, the captains, and the king's counselors being gathered together, the Lord assembled them to put them into shame. They gathered together because king's counselors, not the wonderful counsel of God. Whoever gave the counsel to throw the three vessels of God into the fiery burning furnace, the Lord assembled all of them before Nebuchadnezzar. And saw this man upon whose bodies the fire had no power. The fire had no power. Remember this word. The fire had no power. The fire of the world, the fire of men, the anger of men, the righteousness of men, the holiness of men, the glorification of men, the gift of men, whatever, had no power over the child of God who is powerless. The only power the child of God can rely on is the one who came to the fiery burning furnace who walked with them. They were still powerless, but the power was with them. Because the Lord taught them a lesson, I will come and deliver you at that moment. Do not premeditate how you are going to escape the fire, but remember the Creator in thy youth, I will appear in that fire. The Lord always saved His servants at the very edge of the cliff because He wanted them to attain the highest amount of faith, the level of faith. Abraham was raising his hand. The Lord was waiting for the stretch to complete, no? He didn't stop when He was here. He waited until to see there is no hesitation. No, this is hesitation. Abraham was full peace. He raised his hand and also he's going to do it. Stop it, man. Stop it! Because you did it in your heart. Because God can see His seed beyond time. The seed should learn to understand. God can see me beyond time. We don't realize that sometimes. God saw me yesterday. My brother and sister, God sees you in your future. But yet He will not interrupt you because He respects the free will. He's a Creator. Now, that word of fire had no power is a representation of the strange fire of men should never have any power over the tabernacle of God. Sons of Aaron, God says, I don't care. I burn you on the spot. King of Korah, I don't care. I burn you on the spot because the fire is not merging with my fire. The armor of Saul was not fitting with the body of David. The strange fire offered by sons of Aaron was not acceptable to the holy fire of God. For Hebrews 12:29 says, God is a consuming fire. He consumed them. But actually, He is not a consuming fire for His children. He is a fire that gives warm, comfort, light, protection for His children. Because children are also carrying the same fire. That is what happened to Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, because they throw fire into fire. How a fire can attack a fire? How an elect can persecute an elect? How a child of God can kill a child of God? Cain was not a child of God to kill the child of God, Abel. One of them must be the child of the devil. Am I right? If there was a murder, there must be a murderer. If there was a violation, disobedience, misunderstanding, lack of understanding, confusion, there must be a serpentine nature having dominion over there. And the Lord says, kill the Goliath. How do I do it? Take the Bible, pray, kneel, share, praise, worship, until the thought is gone from your mind, don't stop. Because the Lord says, you also have to grieve thyself in the name of the Lord. You have to encourage yourself from child of God. Greet yourself. Lord, may you grant shalom to me. May you be the one to greet me. Be my vision. You also greet when you receive His confidence. Now, Daniel is not at all in the picture. The young man is absent. Daniel was young during the time of Nebuchadnezzar. That's all. He was an older man when everyone else came. Now the next verse says, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor a smell of fire had passed on them. My brethren, the bad aroma of the burning smell of ash or the fire could not even stay on the sweet aroma of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. Do you have a sweet aroma? When Mary broke the alabaster box, the house was filled with the sweet aroma of the anointing, right? You are all focusing on the Mary, but don't focus on the house. Because a woman in the scripture always touched the church. Naomi touched the church. A woman who is groaning, panging in the birth pains, touched the church. Because the ministry of God will go through a lot of challenge just to bring forth Christ. The ultimate goal is the child must be a child of life, like Solomon. The child must not die like the child of David, Bathsheba before the marriage. Do you hear what I'm saying? The Lord wanted the child. Who is the child? The Prince of Peace. The fruit of the Holy Ghost. Who wants to come from our life. Every long suffering of your life is very similar to pregnancy. You go through a valley of pain. You wait. The Lord will deliver you from the birth pain. When you do it, you will see patience, long suffering, endurance, love, joy, peace. You will give both children. Not the physical children, but the fruit of the Holy Ghost. Because you are also a tree. Eve, the woman, was compared to a garden, a tree. In the New Testament, we are compared to a tree. That is why Book of Revelation, ending by saying, you will have access to the tree of life. We should bring forth the fruit. How can a man can bring forth a child? Yes, I can't, but I can bring forth the fruit. Fruit of the Holy Ghost. Now, verse 28 says, Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, because Nebuchadnezzar did not know who is the God. Although he had some glimpse of wisdom, that doesn't mean that Nebuchadnezzar is a faithful servant of God. Not yet. Who has sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him and has changed the king's words. You see, Nebuchadnezzar accepted that he was wrong. He said, my word was wrong. The Lord changed the word. Which king will admit? That is why God calls Nebuchadnezzar my servant. Third, he is a Babylonian. Who are you? Who is me? Oh, do I look like a Jew? May the Lord heal your eyes. None of us are Jews. We are not born in the house of Abraham. We are purchased by the blood of Christ. A Gentile king who served God much more than many Jewish kings. It's a reality. And it happens, he says, have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. This is exactly the reason when Belshazzar gave a royal decree, the other Chaldeans, they told Belshazzar, my king, you should not change the word. Why? These cunning Chaldeans know Nebuchadnezzar changed the word. He changed the word, right? He himself said, the Lord changed his word. So they saw what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. They told Belshazzar, you can't change the word, throw him into the lion's den. So Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. That is his part of God's testimony. These three were thrown into fiery furnace. It is that part of testimony. But these three, this one, the four of them, they were always bearing one another's burden in prayer. Because they were living in a house called the house of prayer. Four wheels of the chariot. How many wheels in the chariot? Five? The chariot will go crazy if there are five wheels. Am I right? Which side turn? This side. North, west, east, south. Okay, four sides. Four pillars. Four wheels. It is written in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 10. You can read it in your own time. The cherubims, the angels of the Lord, the Bible says they were turning like four wheels at once. Is there any example of physical flesh? Oh yes, when the Lord saw the four faithful men carrying the body in the shoulder, who was very sick, can't defend, can't speak, the Lord saw the faith of the four wheels. They were of same faith, united at once, and the Lord saw them. He said, he's healed. He said, thou sins are forgiven, you are healed. Then what it represents? How the Levites are carrying the ark? On their head or shoulder? the shoulder is part of the body of Christ or the head. This is not my head. This is my head. The Lord says, carry me. The Lord was carrying shoulder on his, carrying the cross on the shoulder. You carry me now, I carry later. Didn't he do it? He carried the word of God because he carried every one of us on his shoulder. All of our sins, iniquities laid upon him. He carried all of us on his shoulder. And he endured everything. Amen? Now, the garment that was upon Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego was not to be spoiled. And that testimony melted Nebuchadnezzar's heart. He was good. It's a good, good thing to see. He was very happy. Excitement. But I told you, excitement is not revelation. Excitement is not the touch of God. Excitement is charismatism. Excitement is nothing but no feeling, ooh, amazing. That is not God's way of dealing with you. If you remember how God touched Daniel, the angel passed by, touched him, Daniel found strength, it all happened in a still, subtle, content moment. No such, you know, huge sin. And you see what happened after this. Verse 29. Therefore I make a decree. This is what they were expecting. Every people, nation, language, speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego shall be cut in pieces. And their houses shall be made a dunghill. A dunghill means full of blackness. Not the house that Mary broke alabaster box. That is full of sweet aroma of precious anointing. And he says, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. But sorry, Nebuchadnezzar, you can't believe God because of this. Because the same God of mine, the same God of earth, he led people to be stoned to death. If Nebuchadnezzar was there, he would say, you see, I told you, you could worship me, Babylonian God, Nebo. You see your God, people is dead. You see the Lord, how the Lord placed time? This time, this is good. This time, this is good. Because he knows what is good for that particular appointed time of season. He knows which testimony is good. David, no one will defeat you. That testimony, you need it. Because you type the son of David, who will never be defeated. Moses, you die. I will bury that no man can find your body. Because I know what happened to Lot. He knows what happened to all the bodies. That was misused by the very own thief, the Lord knows. And he also knows the people of Israel will worship idols moving forward. He prevents it. Now, the Bible says it is also a type, the life that was hid in Christ, although the Lord said, my flesh is the bread of life that we eat, but the Bible says the Lord Almighty hid the truth, that is the body of Christ, that is the flesh that we all eat and drink. It is also hidden that no man can find. God must reveal the salvation to you. Can any of us say, I found Christ by myself? No, it is against scripture. God revealed the truth to me because the body that was buried that no man can find. Mary come, open the stone, and see, the stone was open. She came and said, hey, the body is missing. We buried yesterday, but no man can find, but only the children of God who will be revealed to. Now you see the next verse. Verse 30. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is second promotion. Are you sure? Yes. Chapter 2, verse 49. Read 2:49. Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon, but Daniel sat in the gate of the king. This is the first promotion. Because of first promotion, they were receiving attention from all the other Chaldeans. They got angry because of them. Because when Joseph shared the dream, he was hated by his brothers even more. When David was appointed as a king, he was given a balcony, which was a vulnerability for him. It also comes as a price of having the responsibility of judging people. The Lord gave him a high balcony where he saw Bathsheba. If all the people cursed David, remember, David was not in the balcony in the first place. He was somewhere managing the sheep. The Lord put him there to serve the people. That is why when God came to defend Moses, he told all the people, "You think my servant is angry with you? It's because of the burden I placed on his shoulder for your salvation." That is why God was defending Moses directly. Why? People forgot why Moses was going through all of this. Remember, the reason why Moses was not to enter the promised land, was it people or the Moses? Think quite carefully. Who provoked him? God? Adversity? Devil? The Bible says he was provoked in his anger. He struck the rock twice, that he's not supposed to do so. Didn't he do it? But what's the root cause? People for whom he was called to serve and die. So can the people say evil Moses, devil Moses? But it happened because of the burden that was placed upon him. Jesus Christ went to the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, "If it is thy will, take this cup away from me." Imagine Judas had a cell phone, take this video, and go and tell all the 11 disciples, "You see, this is the Savior. He's trying to escape, man. You think he will die for you? He's trying to escape. Look at the proof. I expose Jesus Christ's weakness to all the Judah, Samarias, everywhere. You see, this is the Lord's 4K video captured in the phone." He said, "Take this cup away from me." But the sentence was not properly completed. Not according to what I said, but whatever is good to you. But that will be sin. Because you know why? Devil will keep the truth. Just take the last part. "Oh, brother, thou shalt do." It looks good, right? "But thou shalt do it not." Or the last words. No, let's keep it short. It is life and death difference. Do and don't. Just two letters. The time that God has chosen to let us all live this life in this time, it shows that we are going to face the most intense warfare that has ever recorded. Physically, digitally, spiritually, psychologically, mentally, financially, everything will come upon the last because it is going to come to an end. But that is not a problem for us. We are not overwhelmed by this because there is one verse it says, "In the end of the days, in the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh." That is enough. Come what may, my Lord said, he will pour out his spirit upon me. Me the dust, me the small, me the dirt who will disappear. He said he will pour out his spirit. Not just breathing, not just the breath of air. He will pour out his spirit. He will focus in the spirit. Enough. Come. Whoever the wickedness may be, come. We will hold our peace, sing songs unto the Lord. If the adversity can launch an attack, the Lord can simply, with a simple touch, he will make everything collapse. Now, the confidence that we all should have is absolutely critical in the times we live. But in order to gain that perfect confidence, we have to understand how exactly it has to be achieved. When Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they were entering into the fiery burning service, remember this, they had no idea what was going to happen to them. They did not simply boast and brag and prophesy, "Thus saith the Lord, my body shall now be burned." No, they didn't do all this nonsense. They just obeyed. Because they don't know what God will do. They understand that they are creation. They submitted to God's will. They don't know what God will do, but they know one thing for sure. That God will do what is good to him. What is good to them. Because God is good. God is good. God is good. God is good. They went inside. He came and they had a walking session. It was expected to be a burning session. It became a walking session. Exercise. Exercise your faith. Walk with God humbly. The wife of Lot failed to follow Lot. The bride of Christ cannot fail to follow Christ. In the burning furnace, keep your eyes on the author of salvation. He can make a way in the midst of a Red Sea. This fire is nothing. But after seeing all of this, let me show you the absolute failure of emotions, feeling, charismatism. Let's go to the scripture, chapter 4, verse 19. Now, I am not reading the last 18 verses, so I will just recap like a story.
After this, the Lord troubles Nebuchadnezzar by giving a dream or vision, and Nebuchadnezzar goes crazy. He can't sleep. He feels something is going to happen to him. He became restless. So now please answer me. Can God give you restlessness? Is it the fruit of the Holy Ghost? A good example is those who are parents here, when you are teaching a child to walk, when you hold the hand, the child is learning to walk, going smoothly. That is peace, joy, all the fruit of the Holy Ghost, and the right hand of the Father is touching the child. Now the Lord wants to give a shaky moment. Take the hand. Now the child goes unrest, correct? Shaking. Is it fruit of the Holy Ghost? No, the God is teaching a lesson. What is your life without me? And that child will go to the left, go to the right, will fall. And the Lord will say, okay, you injured, okay, put a plaster, are you okay? Shall you go it again? Okay, let's go. The child fall, rise, fall, rise, fall, rise. Then over time the child walk like the father. And that is exactly what the groom is waiting to catch the bride. Do you walk like me? Lord, I can do big dance. Walk like me. I can run like Usain Bolt. Walk. I can jump. I can do so many things. Walk. The most hardest thing for a man to do is walk. Walk comes with contentment, quietness, patience, long-suffering, absolute peace. Can I be peace when I run? What? I'm walking. You're running. What is walk? Abraham walked with God. 175 years he lived. The lifespan of man is keep on going down. Why? We are always running in spirit. No rest. Eating stress for breakfast, depression for lunch, weariness for dinner, and go and sleep. Sleepless sleep. The reason why Adam lived 9:30, Methuselah 9:69, I believe their heartbeat was beating very slow. Because they had no distraction, nothing to win, nothing to lose. They were so, you know, chilling around. 969 years old. He lived almost 1,000 years. Can you believe it? Almost 1,000 years he lived. What they were doing? They were walking. Walking. They were walking. Enoch walked with God and God took him. Enoch ran with God and God was walking. So Enoch overran God, so God could not take him. That's the meaning, right? Do not outrun God. Whoever outran in two incidents, the king said, stand aside. The one who comes with the message will come slow. Not slow, in the right time. In the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Peter was coming. Someone ran before Peter because of love for Christ. And that young man was standing outside the tomb. He did not enter. But nobody told him to stop. Because John knows it has to be him. If that man is gone. Or whoever is a disciple. Because the name Mark and John in different gospels, it says young man running naked. And we all know it's John. It has to be John. The one who received the beautiful, mighty, powerful garment of revelation of Christ later on. But John stood outside the tomb for Peter to enter. Because the Lord says, Peter, you are the rock. I will build my church upon thee. Knowing what God wants, it's a sign that how close you are with God. What my God wants? Take away whatever you want, that is dust. What God wants? Take a breath. Come back to the sense of neutral. No, neutral, not excited. I have learned by a lot of painful mistakes, don't make a decision when you are super happy. When you are so joyful, don't take a decision. And do the same. Don't do it when you are super sad, super weary. Wait for that still moment of you are like a dumb man, empty. Then decide, is it perfect? Because you are not influenced by flavor. You are like a plain water. Then decide, it is good. Because you are not carried away by the wind like a chaff. Steady state, which is steadfast. Amen? But how a dust can be steadfast? The wind comes, dust is gone. If the Lord can make you as a stone, can the wind carry the stone? No.
Did the Lord call you as a name lively stones? But if I mint the stone, it will go back to what state? Dust. Correct? But the stone is called stone because the dust received the frame of a stone. But it was a dust. Someone put it together like a potter. Now continue. What happens here is this unrestful thoughts, weariness, same as King Saul. God sent a young man called David to have a refreshing song. And God sent Daniel, the young man, to give a refreshing interpretation. Now Daniel is going to interpret. You see, verse 19 says, then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, chapter 4, verse 19, who astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee, man. Don't be scared, I won't kill you. Just tell me the interpretation. But Daniel was not troubled about the interpretation. But Daniel was troubled for Nebuchadnezzar himself. Because Daniel respected whoever the Lord appointed above him. I love Daniel because you should see Joseph in Daniel. You can see Christ in Daniel. You can see David in Daniel. They had the respect and honor for whatever the authority God placed above them. But they did not obey them blindly. They rejected them whenever the truth was challenged. Now the pattern comes. How old was Adam when God made him? Was he a child or a boy or a grown-up man? He was a grown-up man. Because God is going to give him Eve. It was not plan B. It was plan A all the time. The plan of Almighty. Plan B in God's sight. Because there is only one Almighty. Plan A. Perfect A. Perfect Almighty plan. Perfect will of God. God knows Eve is going to come, so he made Adam as a grown-up man. Amen? And he gave him the woman. So Adam was young. Do you agree with me? Eve was young. Do you agree with me? Because they can't age. The first creation of God was not a child, was a grown-up man. That is why when Christ was anointed in the river of Jordan, he was not a child. He was not a boy. He was a grown-up man, about 30. And John the Baptist anointed him, baptized him. And the Bible says, Spirit of God descended upon like a dove, and the Lord spoke, God spoke, my son. That is, God was manifest in flesh, not the beforehand. Why? Whatever happened before, it is nothing but a preparation for that state. The same for bride of Christ cannot go to the marriage as a minor. We have to be a grown-up woman. Lord, is it very beautiful to you? In spirit, am I clothed with the fruit of the spirit? Not with the 9 stones of Lucifer, but the 9 beautiful characters of Jesus Christ. Ezekiel 28 says Lucifer has 9 stones on him. Do you remember? But how many stones upon Aaron? 9 or 12? 12. That represents perfect government of God. Perfection of God. 12 apostles, 12 disciples, 12 pillars. 12 opposite combinations, 12 stones on the breastplate of Aaron. But 9 means the Lord says final, penalty. 9 fruit, the day you receive everything, you are ready for the marriage. It's only 1 fruit, but 9 flavors. Now, what is happening here is Daniel is troubled because he understood the interpretation of what is going to happen to the king. Now, verse 20 says, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all, and you grew beyond your measure. He's going to tell this, but Nebuchadnezzar is listening. Who is the tree? Who is the tree, man? Daniel is unfolding layer by layer. Now, remember this. Daniel was young. Jeremiah was young. David was young. Samuel was young. Joshua, the son of Nun, was young. He was called as young when Moses called him. Adam was young. And above everyone, Jesus Christ, when he began, he was 30 young. Am I right? Apostle Paul, was he old? No, he was a young man. He was called as a young man. Why? The Lord is always teaching a lesson. What happened in the Garden of Eden? Adam was a grown-up young man. Remember the Creator in your youth. Amen? Because the word world is not subject to God's children. We are getting older because of the sin, because of Garden of Eden, because of the aging of the living soul that is dying. But the Lord says, remain young, because you are called to be young and beautiful. Whosoever we will see on the other side, we will see what the Lord wrote here. The glorious celestial body the Lord will give to all the children. They will be the most beautiful divine versions of who is God Himself in them. We wait for that blessed moment. Amen. In the feast, by and by. Because it is going to be super sweet that you can't even understand. You can't speak. Have you experienced in your life, you go through something but words not coming? It could be two extreme. One, you lost your loved one, you couldn't speak. And two, the Lord surprised you with some blessing, you couldn't speak, you couldn't explain. That is you going back to a child. And the mother is playing with you. You are saying, I can't speak. You are saying, I can't speak, I can only cry, scream. Because language is a tool of explaining your knowledge, right? But the Lord can make you your mouth shut. He can make you, you can't say a single word. He can silence you by blessing you, by also chastening you. He can silence you. Although the Lord allowed me to experience by witnessing a massive death of more than 7,000 people in tsunami, because of that, as a young boy, the emotion of panicking was circumcised. It's not I'm strong. It's like a technical fault. Because you see, you become numb, right? Oh, brother, someone died of accident. Okay. Okay. Because why? Because you see something that is tragic, 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 then you got used to it. Correct? But even that, the Lord can surprise you, the death of a young child. What happened to innocent young children? You can't take it. Because the agape of God is in you. There was a time they sent me to receive a body which was crushed in an accident because they were not ready. They know that they call me as a plastic man. You go, receive the body. Because they will deliver the body from the ambulance man. So I went and carried the body. The head fell from the carrier, whatever. I was still didn't scream because I was telling myself, you can handle this. But the moment I turned, I lost strength in my flesh. I couldn't even walk. You understand what I'm saying? I collapsed deep inside. Then the Lord taught me, you are saying, you think you're strong? Never, ever think even in your mind. Never. Because if the Lord sees his abomination to him, he will test you. You can't take it. It is an unnecessary invitation. You say, Lord, me. Unable to speak, that is overwhelming joy, overwhelming pain. Amen? There is one more state, unable to walk, that you lost the strength in your flesh of something that you have seen, something that happened to you, or even a time of repentance, whatever. Then you would know, I can't even walk if you don't touch me. You will feel like a lame. Now you understand who was that lame sitting outside a beautiful gate? You, me. Can't walk. Lost strength. The Spirit of God must enter into me to set me upon my feet because I was a dust. I became a dust. And the Lord needs to give me the frame again. What is the frame? The Spirit, the bone that gives me the frame in the Word of God. Only He can give you that strength. And that strength is understanding you are small, understanding you are weak, understanding I must decrease, He must increase. Because there is no one who cannot be overwhelmed by God. None. God can make anyone to be overwhelmed. Even by joy, even by strength, even by riches, He will make you overwhelmed that you fall. So now, this Daniel is going to overwhelm Nebuchadnezzar. Why? Daniel has to speak the truth. Correct? He can't sugarcoat. That is why Daniel was troubled. Because Daniel knows he said this is going to happen after this. You see what he says? verse 21, whose leaves were fair and the fruit thereof much, and it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It sounds like tree of life, Jesus Christ, right? He gave everything to all of us, gave shelter, gave meat, everything, right? But what if others also boast themselves as the same tree? There are so many denominations. I heard the number of members is bigger than the country itself. What? So they have digital members, visible, invisible members. You know what a shame, what's happening now? Physical gathering of the vineyard has been replaced by illusion, virtual, which is not at all possible in the first church age. Can Apostle Paul preach a sermon from Judea to all the way to Samaria or Philippi, wherever? He has to go there. He has to go there. He can't influence where he was not as a whole. But now the whole local assembly, no. I saw the sermon of Branham in 1970. It was fantastic. I could not find replacement today. So I will eat it same. You will wait for God's teaching. When he comes and teach you, you will be surprised. The first church age, the Bible was sealed to remind every one of us that God will do new things. He is not a soldier who is lacking weapon. He is the weapon. He is the manna. He is the drink. He is the bread. He is new every morning because the Lord is the only one who knows the cunning devil attacks, how they are preparing for the warfare. And he is the only Joshua who knows the strategy of the enemy. So he prepared the bride accordingly. But the bride says, let me handle it. Handle it. We can't even fight a single beast of the enemy. It is smaller than us. Even a tiny snake can kill you when you sleep. Am I right? Physically I'm saying. A tiny snake can kill you when you sleep. How much more so the great old serpent when you are spiritually asleep can kill you. Now, Daniel is going to teach a lesson to Nebuchadnezzar to tell him straight to his face, you were puffed up. That was his message. So how he has to say? He's troubled. He took 1 hour. The Bible says, Daniel took 1 hour because he was troubled. You know why? Daniel knows the wisdom of God will only manifest when he comes back to the steady state. Where is the altar of heart of God where God can speak? So Daniel was here. He took some time. So keep on panicking. What's going to happen? He knows that it is not good. He waited. He waited. For 1 hour he was troubled. Isn't it? And Jesus Christ says in Matthew 5, if something is troubling your heart, don't you dare to come to my altar. Did he say that? Why he said that? You may say something that is not of God. You may say something that is just of you. If it is led by Spirit of God, you would see the compliance to the 9 attributes of the fruit of the Holy Ghost. If there is one missing, it cannot be from God. Brother, 99% accurately perfect. 1% can't be accepted. I will give you fruit, milk, wine. I will add 1 drop of cobra poison. Drink it. 19% what you want. 1% what I want. King cobra from my country. I'll bring it for you. You won't even be there for a minute. Brain go to brain. So that 1% says, no. That is how devil plays game. 99% scripture, 1% of his deceit. Or deceit or his cunningness. Now, Daniel is going to tell Nebuchadnezzar, you did everything good whenever the Lord wanted you to do so, but now, in your strength, you are puffed up. And the Lord is going to pluck out everything one by one. And he is going to teach you a lesson that the dust that can stick in your feet will also in your hand. In order for that to happen, he must become a beast. Four-legged beast will have dust both all four legs, because the hand will become legs. Have you ever thought? You would not say a lion, two hands in the front, two legs. The lion has four legs. You don't know which one is hand. If you use a hand as a leg or leg as a hand, it's up to you. It's up to them. But for the creation of God, upright creature, two hands, to do the work of the Lord, 2 feet to go to all the muddy pastures, to go all the dirty places to preach the gospel. But the Lord says, I will wash your feet, shake it off, wipe it off. He said that. We'll go there. Now, Daniel says, King Nebuchadnezzar, everything what I'm going to say, receive it. He says in verse 7, is this your joyous city? Okay, I'll come to that later. Let me complete this first. He says in verse chapter 4, verse 22, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. Now look at this. Thou art is actually dust. Thou art is actually small. But Daniel says, thou art has become super strong. So great. King Nebuchadnezzar, listening, are you praising me or mocking me? He's telling, for thy greatness is grown and reached unto heaven. The tower of Babel in Genesis 11 was almost hitting the clouds. That's what the Lord said. And the dominion to the end of the earth, whereas the king saw a watcher and an holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, and yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let this portion be with the beast of the field. Now the last one, till 7 times fasting. What? Nebuchadnezzar, you were saying in the previous chapter, heat the furnace 7 times. Say it again, heat the furnace 7 times. Now receive it. And the Lord said, 7 times I will pass over thee. God is righteous, absolutely, precisely. He is not taking revenge. The truth is, God wanted to preserve Nebuchadnezzar. That is why he did not uproot the tree. Do you see what is written here? God says, cut him until the level he's supposed to be, but don't uproot the tree. That is the definition of what the scripture says. We are cornered, we are persecuted, but we will never be destroyed as long as we are rooted in the word of God. Because the word of God cannot be destroyed. But if I'm planted in some other word, I will be uprooted. Jesus said, uproot the tree, throw it in the fire. Amen? Two differences. Now go to verse 27. Therefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee. Daniel request. Consider this, my king. Don't reject me. Because Daniel respects the king. He did not say, if you don't do it, man, I'll kill you. He didn't say such thing. No boasting, no bragging in the life of Daniel. Love him. You can't see any bragging in the life of Daniel. He's the wisest of all in that time. He was like a servant. But he knows that wise wisdom comes from him. He said, dust, I'm a dust, I'm a dust. And Daniel says, my king, don't do this. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is the name of Jesus Christ? The breaker of chains. Because he is the Lord's righteousness in our life. And he says, thy iniquities by shewing mercy to the poor. So you think Babylon had poor people? Is it the meaning? No. Who is poor? Before I understood who is Jesus Christ, I was poor. After I understood who is my Lord, I am rich. And those who have not received Christ yet, they are poor. And the Lord said, I came for the poor. And we can say, Lord, go show them. I am rich now. You were poor. You were just dust. You were just thief. You were the small. It's not over until you get married. Even after you get married, the bride will be the humble wife forever and ever. That is why David chose the stones. This stone is good for me. I can keep it. He knows. He knows which stone will go to his shepherd back in his grave. Five. Amen. Now, look at the response of Nebuchadnezzar. Verse 28. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he was in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. What? You mean he was walking in the Babylon kingdom? Like Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego walking with the angel of the Lord in the burning furnace? He's walking. But how many days? 12 months. So there was an ear given to him. An acceptable ear to listen to what Daniel said. Do you hear me? Without God's permission, none of us will see another ear. Do you know? He gives an ear. Moses, report to me for duty at the end of the year. An acceptable ear of the Lord. Now, you see what happens. Verse 30, the king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom of by the might of my power you are done, and for the honor of my majesty case closed. Because Job said last Sunday, right, my glory, my flesh was fresh in me. Now Nebuchadnezzar says it is still fresh in me. Oh, the freshness will be tried now. Next verse. While the word was in the king's mouth, hallelujah, after 1 year of time, the out of the abundance of the heart, the king is going to speak. When the mouth was giving the words, it says, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, blessed be the name of the Lord. God did not use Daniel as a prophet at this point of time. Do you see why? He is going to judge Nebuchadnezzar. He don't want to get the vessel to be used for judgment. He can strike. But Daniel was interpreting. God was speaking to him. But when the warfare changes, the Lord changed the weapon. Sometimes you have to understand, you must take one step backward to let the Lord do what He is doing. If you take one step forward thinking that you are Uzzah, you will become Uzziah and Uzzah at the same time. He will strike you. You will lose the garment of salvation. You will have leprosy spiritually. Now what happens next is, the kingdom is departed from thee. Hey, I heard this word somewhere. Someone told this word. Let's go and talk to Nathan, who types Daniel to King David the way Daniel types himself to Nebuchadnezzar. It should be in 2 Samuel. Where Nathan spoke. It should be find it. Okay, yes. Now this is where Saul fall into the trap of Bathsheba, and after that there is a rebuke that God is sending, and let us read this in 2 Samuel. Yes. Chapter 12, yes. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7 onwards. Now Nathan is coming to David. Please look at the words used. Nathan says, thou art the man, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. So what is the word Nathan used? Thou art. Amen. You know why he used? Because Nathan played a game with David, and David uncovered his nakedness by himself. That is 3 verses above. Verse 5, or let's read from verse 1. It is better that we get it completely. Now God sent Nathan with a parable, puzzle, lesson in his hand. So Nathan is going to deliver the message. Now Nathan comes and speaks to David. He says, there are two men in one city, one rich and other poor. David is running. Ah, good challenge for me. I'm a king. David is also a prophet. He's also a musician. He's a soldier. He's a shepherd. He is so many of, attributes of Christ. And David is listening. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him, and with the children, it did eat of his own meat. Own meat. And drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. Verse 4. There came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take off his own flock and his own herd, to dress the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Now, David is looking at as if it is a servant for someone else, not for me. But I'm righteous, what? I'm God's beloved, right? Nathan, who is the poor fellow? Who is this, wicked man? Who is going to be rebuked? Who is this man? Who is this man? There's an excitement in David's heart. This sermon, this prophecy, this psalm, this word is not for me, it's for someone. And Nathan was waiting for that vulnerability. Then he uncovered verse 5. David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. Who is that man? Thou art the man. So what is the man? Every time you get angry, the Lord says you are getting angry with yourself. Because you are the man. David's anger was greatly kindled against that man. Who is that man? That man. And Nathan was waiting for that moment. He said, Nathan, you know what? As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this wrong shall surely die. Assertiveness. Overconfidence. Without knowing what he is thinking, he is judging himself to death. Am I right? That's why Jesus said, don't think that you can glorify my name by speaking about me or testifying in my name, but you do it for your own pleasure, own disciple thoughts, dishonest gains. When you speak, the time, the moment, the heart vomits those words, your heart becomes the altar. And the last is, make sure you don't offer any gift from the altar of your heart before making everything in peace and right before me. What if the heart is used as a mic to speak whatever that we want? What if the heart used as a stage of limelight? Not to preach the gospel of peace, but to proclaim the political, what is called political oath. This is what our party will do. We are this party, we are that party. Nathan was waiting. Because Nathan is a prophet, right? He represents the word of God. Because prophet means the word of God is spoken, will come to pass. Now, after David said that he shall surely die, verse 6, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold, but he did these things, and because he had no pity. Verse 7, now Nathan says, David, your ears all okay? Yeah, all good. Thou art the man. Lest he say, I didn't hear you properly. Thou art the man. The judgment of God begins from house of God. And come back to Daniel, because Nebuchadnezzar is wondering, who is that man? And Daniel says, thou art the man. After he said this, 1 year Nebuchadnezzar was walking, but he could not understand. He could not accept. Because of pride. Because pride is the greatest blindness of the whole earth. And the lust is the greatest hunger and thirst of the whole earth. Now, verse 32, they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. Not by the one who runneth, not by the one who willeth, but by the one who showed mercy, because all of us were dust. Verse 33. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. That is why Daniel was troubled for that one hour. We people, sometimes people say end time message believers, we believe in the message of the heart. Message of the heart. What is the message of the heart? Jesus Christ died for me. Then what was the message of the heart Abraham had? There was no Jesus. Oh yes. Message of Isaac. No such thing called message of Isaac. What is the message of the heart? Why people are confounded to want to see the whole world destroyed when I go up and get married? Is it the life of Christ? The Lord died, went down for you to come up. The bride will go down for every one of us to be the bride of Christ. When there is a willingness to perish, there is life. Especially if I perish, I perish. She's not saying if I go to heaven, I go to heaven. You stay back. The life of Christ is life of sacrifice. The life of sacrifice is life of agape, life of truth. It has no personal ambition. It has no selfish gain. Can I say, I'm suffering a lot, Lord? Rapture, soon. I'll give you some time. Until the very last sheep enters the kingdom of God. No matter whoever suffers, the Lord will say, my apostles are skinned alive. You are saying? How he waited, how the Lord could witness the tragic stoning to death moment of Stephen, because the Lord, beyond all of this pain and sufferings and everything that is tragic, he was looking at the last soul who is going to glorify his name by saying, blessed be the name of the Lord, I repent. That moment is what the whole heaven is waiting for. That moment should be the only thing the whole body of Christ should be waiting for, because you are that person. The truth is, you are also that person today. Because any time I can fall away. I can go back to death any time. I can be the dust any time. The potter must take me again, add water, that is spirit, make me a clay, put me back in the vessel. If at all, he decides to show mercy on me. Every time you become dry, you are not a clay. You are who? Dust. What is the water? The spirit of God. You know the difference between clay and dust? I have clay in my hand. The wind comes, the clay will stick in my hand. It won't leave. Because of the water made it into a mortar, like a plaster. But if I have dust in my hand, it will just disappear like a chaff, raw, in the air. Because it doesn't hold any weight. No truth. No spirit. The Lord says, potter, clay. The dust, the fine particle of the dust has found a new portion called clay in which the Lord is working. Then you are not dust anymore, you are a clay. The moment you become so stiff, so dry, so rugged, you are back to the portion of dust because the Spirit of God leaves you. When the glory of God leaves the tabernacle of God, the clay becomes dust, remember. And till the Spirit goes back in, it is not clay, it is still a dust. Now, we will continue the transformation of Nebuchadnezzar next week, but I want us to close the sermon today with few verses from New Testament. Romans chapter 9 verse 21. What happened to Nebuchadnezzar will be the next part of sermon. What is happening to us is the sermon for today. Romans 9:21. It says, had not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? But can the Lord do this unrighteously? He can't do it. Now remember the word potter. I use the word potter's power over clay. Now, do I have potter's power over me? Dust plus water, right? He won't add oil. No potter would add oil to make a clay. Now, continue. It says, verse 22, what is God willing to show his wrath and make his power known? Endued with much long suffering, the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction. Now, here he changed the name to God, not potter anymore. Correct? This also a power, but not the power of potter. It's the power of God. Two power in two verses. Am I right? Now continue Romans chapter 6 verse 4. Romans chapter 6 verse 4. I want to read few verses from New Testament. Verse 4. We are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Now, newness of life. I use the word myself. This is the title of today's sermon. Newness of myself. Talking about everything else. He will give new city, old Jerusalem. He will make everything new. We all know that. But you are a piece in that newness. Newness of myself, largeness of heart, freshness of mind, newness of myself in God, right? It's not just life, myself. Because you are the life of Christ. So what is this newness? Is we turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 3. Let us get this word from Jesus Christ, Gospel of Luke, chapter 9. Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 3. Now, it's a very interesting sequence of events. Chapter 9, Jesus sent 12. The next chapter, he sent the 70 to witness. But he gave them an instruction. And I want you all to pay attention to the instruction. He says, take nothing of your journey, for your journey neither staff, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. That is two garments. One to wash, wait for dry, and use one for it to be clothed. Verse 4, and whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide. Whatsoever house the Lord allows you to enter into, abide. Then depart. Is there anyone who can abide forever in the house of God other than God himself? None. All of us are on a journey, like a vapor. Comes and go, comes and go. But the one who abides forever is the one who made us. Amen? The next word you see, whosoever will not receive you, when ye go out of the city, shake off the very dust from your feet for a testimony against them. Now, remember the word dust all the way here. What is this instruction the Lord gave? Shake off. From thy feet. I thought I am the dust. How can I be the dust of my feet? Lord says, shake off the dust from thy feet. Then when you do that, you will be a testimony against them. Why he said that? Imagine all 30-40 of us come to my house. My house is very dirty because of dust all around, all on the floor, all dust. But all your feet is wet. Because maybe you came from the sea, after some baptism, you all come to my house. You walk into my house, you leave my house, without your knowledge, you would have cleaned my house to some extent. Because all the dust went with thee. Correct? In your feet. In all your feet, correct? You went inside, came, went outside, the dust also went with you. Whenever you have experienced a godly fellowship, you would always receive peace after the fellowship. Because someone came and took your weariness and went out. The house of your life. That is godly fellowship. But someone come with dust all in the pocket, come and say, "How are you, sir? Yeah. Put all the dust everywhere, all good?"
Okay.
After they leave the fellowship, you would be undressed, you would be weary, you would have something goes wrong, but the whole house is very clean. Good luck and cleaner. Inside, full dust. But the Lord says, since they did not receive my shalom, take it off. Apostle Paul, he was used by God in a way that the Lord himself would have performed the ministry. Amen? Because he stopped, Apostle Paul continued. But when Apostle Peter denied Christ, before he was an apostle, and also Apostle Paul, if you remember the way the Lord dealt with them, when Apostle Peter was Peter, a damsel came and questioned him, "Are you Jesus?" And he said, no. He just escaped, right? But Apostle Paul was sitting near some campfire or wood fire. Suddenly, a snake came to what you call circle around his hand. He just shook it in the fire, then ran away. Shake it off. Like something is on me, they shake it off, then it fall off. David tried the garment of armor of Saul. It did not fit him. It was about to fall off. He gave back to him. It's not meant for me. Now remember this. Now look at the other side of what the Lord said. In the next chapter, Luke 10, chapter 3. Why the Lord said this? Luke 10, chapter 3. "Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." Wolves are dirty, will carry dirtiness wherever they go. The feet of the wolves will preach cunningness and wickedness everywhere. So the Lord says, "I am also sending the feet of the lamb. Go, wherever you go." Because the shepherd also walked through the muddy pastures to find you. Isn't it? His feet became dirty. I will show you how extant it was. He says, "Carry neither purse, nor scrip, nor shoes, salute no man by the way." The Lord, what are you saying? Jesse the father told David, "Salute their brethren." You are telling us, don't salute anyone. The Lord says, don't salute everyone. What is salute? Greet. What is greet? Serve. What is serve? Give thanks. What is give thanks? Live and serve and stand and be there until the last breath of life. And the Lord says, don't serve everyone. Because he will tell you what is the purpose of his will. Ecclesiastes says, do not hear all the words of men. Amen? Now you see, do not salute no man because the Lord was looking for brethren. Do you hear me? Because no man can stand in the gap. In whatsoever house he enters, first say, "Peace be to this house." I love it. The Lord says, be a man, a woman of peace. First say peace, shalom. Every Sunday, every Friday, every Wednesday, whenever we say shalom, we may say shalom, but the Lord knows what is in your heart. Is it shalom or shal? Boom. Of shalom. Shalom. What is shalom? My brother, my sister, I love you in Christ. Is there anything wrong when you and me get concerned of? Then I say shalom. There is no shalom when there is no unity of spirit in your heart. No shalom. That shalom will rebound. I didn't say that. He said that. He says, if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it will turn to you again. So it's like a ball hitting the wall, come back to the one who threw it. But the other one also has two hands of Christ. They receive it. Ah, I love it. Shalom, my brother. God bless you. Peace is not a game. Peace is God's blessing. And the Lord says, the two altars must be of the same height. This is your heart. I say shalom. I want you to be good. I wish you well. I wish you good health. I wish you to be joyful, peaceful in Christ. I really need shalom, abundance. And the Lord says, the same house remain eating and drinking such things as they give, like a place where food is being produced. For the laborer is worthy of his hire. Go not from house to house. Hallelujah. What a powerful message from the message himself. Go not from house to house. You know what does it mean? Remember Naaman, the one who was leper? He went to the house of Elisha, knocked the door, heal me now. People said, you are a prophet, just come and heal me. I came in chariots, my servants are here, just heal me in a honorable way. Elisha did not even come out of the house, tell that man, go to the river of Jordan and ask him to wash himself 7 times. He just sent a word. Naaman was offended. You can't even face me. I'm a righteous, noble man. Prophet Elisha. No respect. He was offended. You know what he said? Is it the river of Jordan is the only river that is better? He mentioned some other names of river. Can't I go there and wash myself to be clean? He said that. And the servants told Naaman, my master, what are you doing? Every vineyard, there is a river of Jordan. There is a garden which is maintained by the God himself. If we can't even soak in the presence of God, wash ourselves as the silver, the words of the Lord, to be refined, purified, together as a family of God, as if there is an unknown divine river far away which needs something intelligent wisdom to go and wash. Elisha did not even respond of what Naaman said. Do you know? Because it was a message to uncover the nakedness of Naaman. Now Jesus says, don't jump house to house. Why? Every house you go, there is only one husband. Jesus Christ is not so beautiful in the next room. Here you look ugly. With Jesus Christ. That's why Apostle John said there are so many antichrists have come out to deceive the bride of Christ. And what the Lord says, and into whatsoever city ye enter, that they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. The bride eats the bread of life. Such things. Now, with this, let us all rise, and by God's grace, we will still continue the next week. And I want us to remember that dust, stones, chisels, thorn, chaff, straws, there are so many things the Lord has given us as a warning. But what is more important to all of us is, am I the new creator of God today? Am I new today? Who received new mercies today? Do I have the new covenant today? The newness of life was given to Naaman after he washed himself 7 times in the river of Jordan. Amen? He became new. His flesh became fresh as child. Moses' hand was leper, and the Lord told him to put inside. His hand became something thick of flesh. And the Lord put him in the bosom, it became fresh again. Job said, the flesh became fresh than a child. Amen? Freshness. But what is newness? Newness is the distance between you and me since we accepted Christ until today. How new I am. How new I changed. Or how much old I am still. How much old we are. Shimei was throwing stones first. Am I right? Deadly stones. He threw to hurt David. Then he threw dust to blind David. But after David showed mercy to Shimei, that Shimei could not capitalize or take advantage of David's mercy. David died. Solomon came. Solomon showed mercy. He tells Shimei, go to your household, stay there, worship the Lord, be alive. Go. Do not come and throw stone and dust again in the kingdom of God. Solomon said that. The Bible says Shimei went. And there was a timeline that was mentioned there which I was shocked. At the end of 3 years, Shimei arose again from his household. He came back to the kingdom. And Solomon heard that Shimei disobeyed the word of God spoken through him. Then Solomon gave a command, not to Joab. This time, Solomon used the servant of God, Benaiah, a mighty man of valor. Because Joab was killed beforehand. He was slain before Shimei was slain. And Shimei was slain. That represents the judgment of God. Amen? None of us are called to be the dust. None of us are called to be the deadly stone. We are called to be the frame, the formation, the Lord, how He made all of us to have the breath of God in us. Amen? And that is called newness. I wanted to put that in newness of life. But now it was changed to myself. Because it's about me. It's about you and the Lord. Personal, intimate encounter. Amen? May the Lord guide us as we continue to learn from the newness. And God bless you all. Shalom. Let me pray and close the sermon. Our Lord, our God, the only one who is able, who is holy, who is all-powerful, to be able to make every one of us new. And Lord, I pray, the new covenant that you have given to all of us, the new wine that you have given to every one of us, because we forsook your covenant, the Bible says we broke your covenant, and because of that, you had to make a new covenant. And Lord, we pray, may you bless us that we don't lose it this time. For there is no time. You are coming. And Lord, I pray every single day, help us to be something new in thy new mercies. Help us, Lord, to have the freshness of mind, largeness of heart, the newness of life, which is myself, to live the life of Christ. Not just the testimony of the Lord is new, His life is new, it is true, but Lord, do I have the newness of Christ in me? To forget the past, to forgo the past, to remember the good things, to remember what the Lord is going through, the great things, to be prepared as a new, young, beautiful bride who is virgin, not pregnant by the world thoughts, but virgin, ready for the seeds of life, the seeds of God Almighty to carry in her mind, to carry in her heart. Fresh and new, blameless, spotless, ready for receiving new and great things. Father in heaven, bless us, Lord. Thank you for the family, the river, the strong tower, the house, the temple of God Almighty, the tabernacle, where we all can soak, wash ourselves, to be renewed, to be revived, to be fresh, to be able to enjoy the sweet aroma, the newness of life to everyone, to stand with the family of God. Help everyone, O Lord, that we live a life like David, to salute the brethren, to greet the brethren, to stand with one another, to live and die for one another, to smile and cry with one another, because that is the life of Christ. And Lord, may you bless every one of us to be like you, to live like you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for everything. In Jesus Christ's name, we all pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.